We were in lesson number 9 of our series in 2 Samuel, and as we ended the last lesson, David was sitting before the Lord. He was praying to the Lord. He was thanking the Lord for the blessing that the Lord had told him about his life and his kingdom and his descendants, and that there would be a kingdom and a nation forever, and about Israel. And he was just thanking them. And I actually ended the last lesson by reading the last verse from the Samuel passage. But as we look ahead and look into moving ahead, there's a parallel passage to that very same prayer that David did. And I wanted to start this week's lesson with that same passage in its parallel over in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses starting with verse number 16. And there it says this: Ezra reported this about King David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And now, O God, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving your servant a lasting dynasty. You speak as though I were someone very great, O Lord God. What more can I say to you about the way you have honored me? You know what your servant is really like. For the sake of your servant, O Lord, and according to your will, you have done all these great things and have made them known. O Lord, there is no one like you. We have never even heard of other gods like you. What other nation on earth is like your people Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you redeemed your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations that stood in their way. You chose Israel to be your very own people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord, I am your servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that will last forever, and may your name be established and honored forever, so that everyone will say, the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And may the house of your servant David continue before you forever. Oh my God, I have been bold enough to pray to you because you have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him, a dynasty of kings. For you are God, O Lord, and you have promised these good things to your servant. And now it has pleased you to bless the house of your servant so that it will continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing, O Lord, it is an eternal blessing. In short, David, who wanted to build this temple for the Lord, was rejected by the Lord for building this temple, but promised that his dynasty would be in his for everlasting and forever. David was in awe of the wonderful blessings and honor that the Lord has bestowed upon him. And to think that the honor would be eternal must have just boggled his mind. And because we have the rest of the scripture, we know that David could not have known. Eternal for the Lord truly means eternal. And during during the 1,000 years kingdom that's going to come, when the Lord is going to be here on earth, Ezekiel fills in for us some of this blessing for David. Ezekiel says this: Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Ezekiel 34:23-24. Ezekiel tells us my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37, 24 through 25. Two passages here. The Lord keeps His promises. We can be assured of that fact. Well, now our writer continues to speak of David's triumphs. And he summarizes how David conquered the surrounding nations. And we will hear those and about those who are subdued of the kingdom. And the compiler lists David's triumphs at this point in the story. And he begins again with the Philistines here in chapter 8, verse 1. Remember, I told you we would hear about the Philistines again in chapter 8, verse 1. And here we go. Now after this, it came about that David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And David took control of the chief city from the hand of the Philistines. Some time after David received his instruction about his son was going to be the one who built the temple, David found his nation in a contest again with the Philistines once more. And if we were to place a time on this in his reign, it was probably in the second year after he moved to Jerusalem. This meant that just 10 years before, David was actually living with the Philistines under the full approval of the king of Gath. Saul was still king back then, and David had found favor with the Philistine king. But after the death of Saul at the hands of the Philistines on Mount Gilboa, David became the new king, and tensions must have risen between the once friendly relationships with the Philistines. Now, we naturally want to see what the Chronicles can add to this story. I would be remiss if I didn't. But all we find there is, after this, David defeated and subdued the Philistines by conquering Gath and its surrounding towns. 1 Chronicles 18:1. Evidently, Gath was the chief city of the Philistines at the time. It was also the city where the king was once David's friend. One point we might want to make here is the fact that at the time of Saul's death, the Philistines had moved into the villages around Mount Gilboa, and they were actually inhabiting those Israelite villages. And at this time in the storyline, David had probably only been king in Jerusalem for about 2 years by now, and thus this might have been the time when David finally rid the kingdom of Israel of the Philistines and subdued them and sent them back to their own land. In fact, I believe that's what happened. Now our compiler then lists the Moabites in chapter 8, verse 2. He defeated Moab and measured them with the line, making them lie down on the ground, and he measured two lines to put to death and one line to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David, bringing tribute. We wish we had more information about this and why this took place. David was of the tribe of Judah through Boaz, as you know. But there's something more here. Boaz was married to Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. Therefore, there was a close relationship with the Moabites through Ruth, closer than just being cousins all the way back to Abraham through his nephew Lot. Lot, of course, was Abraham's nephew, and he was the father of Moab and the father of Ammon. Before David became king, he had taken his parents to Moab and asked the king to protect them. We found that out in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3 through 4. Looking into the Chronicles for insight, we only find this. David also conquered the land of Moab, and the Moabites who were spared became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. 1 Chronicles 18:2. The whats and the whys of this battle are not clear, but one thing is clear. David's victory fulfilled prophecy. If you remember Balaam's prophecy, when he was supposed to go curse the nation of Israel while Moses was still alive, Balaam actually blessed Israel, and he said this, "The scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab." Numbers 24:17. We can only speculate, but a new Moabite king must have come to the throne who betrayed the trust of David and betrayed the trust of Israel. David subdued the Moabites. He subdued the Philistines. Now he subdued the Moabites. And now we're going to look at the Hadadezerites. The compiler mentions the Hadadezerites next, verse number 3. Then David defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to restore his rule at the river. David captured from him 1,700 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers, and David hamstrung the chariot horses, but he reserved enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 Arameans. Then David put garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became servants to David, bringing tribute. And the Lord helped David wherever he went. David took the shields of gold which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. From Betah and from Berothiah, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a very large amount of bronze. David did not capture this land to the north for the nation of Israel, and that is strange to me, but he did defeat it, and he brought it into its to its knees to pay taxes to the nation of Israel every year. We must wonder why he did not bring this into the kingdom, because this land was part of the promised land, that was supposed to be part of the promised land, I should say, and one day will be when the Lord comes back. And it was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it was never taken by Joshua. Hadadezer was the king of Aram, known today as Syria. Aram and Syria are the same countries. It was bordered on its east side by the Euphrates River, and on the west side by that great Mediterranean Sea. And it extended north to what we call current-day Aleppo, and it bordered on a little bit on its south by the tribes of Asher, Naphtali, and Manasseh, as well as a slither of land that is called Phoenicia, Lebanon today. Damascus, that is mentioned here, sits just about 20 miles north of the border of Manasseh on the east side of the Jordan River. Note in this passage that David stationed military outpost in Aram at this time, and no doubt to protect Israel and to protect an ever-present visual, or provide an ever-present visual to secure the yearly payment of taxes to Israel from all these Aramean areas. Damascus was in Aram, current-day Syria. We look into the Chronicles for more insight, and here's what we find. David also destroyed the forces of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath. When Hadadezer marched out to strengthen his control along the Euphrates River, David captured 1,000 chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He crippled all the chariot horses, except enough for 100. When Arameans from Damascus arrived to help King Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of them. Then he placed several army garrisons in Damascus, the Aramean capital, and the Arameans became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. So the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. And David brought the gold shields of Hadadezer's officers to Jerusalem, along with a large amount of bronze from Hadadezer's towns in Teba and Kun. Later, Solomon melted the bronze and molded it into the great bronze basin called the Sea, the pillars, and the various bronze articles used at the temple. Okay, the compiler of 2 Samuel could not have known all that Solomon was going to do with these gold shields and with this bronze in the future. We are forever thankful for Ezra for telling us about these gold shields and these bronze shields and this stuff that was brought, this large amount of bronze, that they were melted down, the bronze, to form these, the sea of the basin of water where all the offerings at the temple would be washed before being placed on the altar to burn for the sweet aroma that would go up into the Lord. The remaining shields that were not used for the basins would be used to construct things like the decorations of the pillars and the articles of the temples and the sockets and all of that that held the boards together. The compiler then moves to a different group. He summarizes David's friendship with the Hamathites. Now when Toai, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, Toai sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. For Hadadezer had been at war with Toai, and Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and bronze. Hamath sat on the Orontes River. Later, that name of that river is going to be changed to the name Epiphania. That Epiphania River, that's going to happen by the Greeks. But this Orontes River, whatever its name is, starts in the mountains of current-day Lebanon. It runs north up into Syria, and then it finally turns back around and it goes back into the Mediterranean Sea in the Turkey area as it swings around. Now, in the capital of the Canaanite tribes, called the Hittites, remember they're up there in that northern part too, while Joshua was still in charge of Israel. But by the time of David, it was simply a city about 30 miles north of the Phoenician-Lebanon border. So, we're talking about Hamath here. And so Toai was the king of Hamath. Now, basically, the mayor of the city is what he was. He wasn't really the king of the area. He was the king of the city, who had been in constant battle with Hadadezer. And when he heard that David had subdued Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to David with gifts. The Chronicles says this and adds this. When King Toai of Hamath heard that David had destroyed the entire army of King Hadadezer of Zobah, he sent his son Joram to congratulate King David for his successful campaign. Hadadezer and Toai had been enemies and were often at war. Joram presented David with many gifts of gold, silver, and bronze. And King David dedicated these gifts to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 18:9-11. In other words, what David did with the gold, the silver, and the bronze was he set them aside for the Lord to be used for the Lord's house, for the temple. We will pick up with the rest of verse 11 shortly. But for now, David accepts Joram's gifts and gives them to the Lord. No doubt, Toai wanted to ensure that David did not come to his doorstep also. So instead, he went to David's doorstep to forge a friendly relationship. Now, the compiler now makes a quick summary of David's triumphs in his encounters, and he includes the Aramites, the Ammonites, which are cousins, the Amalekites, and the Edomites, verse number 11. King David also dedicated these to the Lord with the silver, the gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued from Aram and Moab and the sons of Ammon and the Philistines and Amalek and from the spoils of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. Now the Chronicles confirms over this same thing. You know, over in verse 11, King David dedicated all these gifts to the Lord along with the silver and the gold he had taken from the other nations, from Edom, from Moab, from Ammon, from Philistia, and Amalek. Now Philistia is the Phoenician area of Lebanon that we talk about. And then he says, now Abishai, son of Zeruiah, destroyed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. And he placed army garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. In fact, the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. 1 Chronicles 18:11. So it seems that David was able to bring peace to Israel through the strength of war. He subdued the nations to the north, to the east, and to the south of his kingdom. He didn't have to do the west because that was the Mediterranean Sea. But he required all these nations, north, east, and west, to pay yearly taxes to Israel. Now the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites were close relatives. You remember the Moabites and Ammonites came to us as relatives of Israel through Abraham's nephew Lot, and the Edomites, oh my soul, the Edomites were descended of Esau, Jacob's brother. But all those other ones, they were all Canaanites. They were all sons of Ham. And all of the Canaanites were supposed to have been destroyed, but Joshua failed to fulfill the Lord's command. And in David's day, all he could do was subdue them. David's war action with the surrounding nations brought notoriety to David's name, just as the Lord had prophesied and promised, verse number 13. So David made a name for himself when he returned from killing 18,000 Arameans in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom. In all Edom he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became servants of David, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. The Chronicles supplies a little more detail about this passage when it says, Abishai, son of Zeruiah, destroyed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He placed army garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. In fact, the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. 1 Chronicles 18:12 through 13. Now, as you notice here, the same things are coming up. We've got Abishai doing something. We've got David doing something. And Abishai was the brother of Joab. He was David's commander, if you remember. And Abishai received credit for slaying 18,000 Edomites. But when we go over to Psalms chapter 60, Joab gets the credit for killing 12,000 Edomites. In the opening title of Psalm 60, it says, "For the choir director, according to Shushan," that means the Lily of Testimony, "Eduth, a milktam," which is a musical term of David, "to teach when he struggled with Aram Naharim and with Aram Zobah, and Joab returned and smote 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt." So is there a conflict between Abishai destroying 18,000 Edomites in Samuel and in Chronicles with Joab destroying 12,000 Edomites in Psalm 60? The answer is no. The reason why is after Abishai killed the 18,000, David tells us that Joab returned and smote 12,000. It was two different battles. And with the battle over, David had a name for himself that the Lord was his helper. No one was willing to go against David because of the Lord. And with all that said, the compiler now gives us a summary of David's reign in total, verse number 15. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and righteousness for all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests. And Zeruiah was secretary. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Chariotites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief ministers. The matching passage in the Chronicle says, so David reigned over all Israel and did what was just and right for all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was commander of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priest. Zeruiah was the court secretary. Benaniah, the son of Jedidiah, was captain of the king's bodyguard, and David's son served as the king's chief assistants. The compiler has jumped way ahead in the whole story of David's reign from beginning to end, and the book of 2 Samuel was not compiled until after David had resigned as king to allow Solomon to take his place on the throne. The compiler is making the point that David was a just and a righteous king with everyone. And be that as it may, the compiler also tells us something else about these men. But because of our time, we're going to talk about Benaniah, but that is going to happen when we come back again together in our 10th lesson. And I hope to see you then.